You don't have to go to the mountain to find him. Amen. You don't have to go to the river to find him, because he is the river.
Amen.
And he's that portion of himself that flows out of the heart of every believer. And Ezekiel's vision of the river of life was really cool. Everywhere that river went, it produced fruit along the way. All the trees along the banks of the river, all lovely fruit. You're like the tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, you can just talk and connect all these verses that talk about the body of Christ very prophetically. And the river of life is the Holy Spirit that's been shed abroad in our hearts. That's how you love. Can't love like we used to love. Got to love with his love. That's the love that touches hearts. That's the love that breaks bondages. That's the love that sets people free. That's the love that gives people hope. I know some in India that converted to Christianity, and then they became real nice Muslims. And to the point of facing death threats from their families when they got water baptized.
Yes.
And one of them made the comment that he would probably not survive the night in his family for converting to Christ. But he said, I don't care now, because now I know the truth. And that's really convincing if you're willing to die because now you know the truth, so now it doesn't matter. But for someone who, a great persecutor of Christians, becomes a Christian, it's kind of like the story of the Apostle Paul's life. Once he got saved, then he knew the truth. And we have all of his letters to show you what that heart change did for him. And each one of us, now that we know the truth, and Jesus is the truth, he's the way, the truth and the life, there's no talking us out of it. Because we don't just know it up here, we know it in the heart. And God gave us a new heart, and he put his spirit within us to bear witness of the truth. It's the spirit of truth. Well, thank you for sharing that, because that's going to be a great Bible study in May. And we'll see which spirit has the greater influence. I don't know, if you call fire down from heaven one night, and they'd probably throw you out, but or come and bring hot dogs, I don't know. That would be fun. I saw a hand. Yes, Marge?
I'd love to
read something. Oh, yep. Ken, spring into the mic.
Let's see, where was I? Living in an increasingly polarized world, I am aware not everyone will share my perspective or see life the way I do. As much as I want to live harmoniously with others, I also want to stand up for what I believe. What I know is true for me. I appreciate that others feel the same way about their beliefs. I speak my truth. I center my life in divinity while acknowledging the divinity of all others. I am honest and grounded, staying steady if someone doesn't agree with me. Likewise, I receive others' truths as I would want them to receive mine. The presence of God is within me. I am spiritual, a spiritual being, living with integrity, speaking words of truth and spiritual power. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Run in your gates judgments that are true, and make for peace. Zechariah 8:16.
Tom brought up about the Islam men, and I just got 25 pamphlets that I had. One of I got years ago from CBN, Islam, Religion of Peace or War. And in that, I have a thing written up on are the terrorists the true Muslims? And so I'm going to be putting out some of those. It's very informative. And I wanted Rick to finish sharing a story of what happened to that man.
In India, yes. After he got baptized, that was extremely meaningful, because he came to realize water baptism is an outward example, I guess, if you will, to demonstrate the change of one's heart. And I had the joy of actually being the one to baptize him. And we did it in an old quarry, because there's a lot of places in India where there's no water. And so we used to use mud ponds behind Hindu temples. This particular quarry, we called it the elephant pond because that's where the elephants went to drink. And the issue with that was many over the years had fallen in and drowned, and their bones were in that pond. So barefoot as I always like to be, I would just go in and just kind of feel out like that, because I didn't want to bring somebody in the water and they step out a sharp bone. And so, but as he went into the water, he went in crying and he came out crying. His whole countenance changed because of what the Lord had done. That miraculous heart change that he experienced was so profound. And his family didn't kill him. They basically disowned him instead. So he kind of had to live alone. And just this last April, Tom and I went back to India. He was one of the people I wanted to see because I followed up on him over the years and went to various places where he had moved. A couple villages, he wasn't allowed to live there because of his new Christian faith. And we went to see him. He was staying with a daughter. And I told you about that, how I felt like we went and perhaps betrayed his location without realizing it, just because we wanted to see him one more time. He invited Tom and I to his son's wedding. And so there's a lot of history there with that guy. And when you talked about Muslims, it's just amazing how the impact that the gospel has. And let them be in the room beside you, whatever, you know, because I can tell you that the Spirit of the living God will just penetrate walls. And I'm excited about that. So don't be intimidated. Stand in the truth that you know. And you'll find that Jesus is going to win out. And that story is just one of many. But I'll stop with that one. Because if you get me talking about India again, you'll have a late lunch. Anybody else? Yes, Barb.
I have a word that the Lord spoke to me this morning, and mm-hmm. I'm going to share it with everybody. Okay. Maybe somebody else will benefit by it. But it's Exodus 14:14, and for any of those who are fighting battles, this is what the Lord says. You are not in a losing battle, for the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So whatever battle you're going through, God's in control.
And the better part of that, that goes with it too, is he's given you the peace. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Peace is not something you have to look for. It's something you have. And you can follow up on that one day, I'm sure. We pursue things that we already have without realizing that we have them. And the new you in Christ, you have all of those abiding. Sometimes people are afraid to ask God for patience because, I don't know where they got this, but they're afraid that God's going to fill their life with all kinds of woes and troubles.
It's religion right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the religion that'll give you a head full of troubles. But you already have that as well. You have patience. It's already inside by the Holy Spirit. All right. We ready for the opening scripture? I haven't decided which one yet, but I'm working on it. Now, this one is on paper, so this has got to be the right one. Back on the 4th of July, and we were talking about how many times we had heard words about liberty and freedom. And we heard a lot of that. And each year we do, because our nation celebrates those things. But I was inspired, it seemed like, by the Spirit to think about the freedom that we have in Christ and the liberty that we have in Christ. And that began a series of opening scriptures that brought us to the one today from Galatians chapter 3. And it's about, I have the long version, which will take us well beyond Huggy Break. So be in it for the long haul. Don't jump and run yet. We're not done. I know you wouldn't do that. But we're going to look at Galatians chapter 3, and starting in verse 9 and go down through 29. And Paul is going to tell us about how the law worked a curse. Number one, you couldn't be saved by it. And number two, nobody could do all the work that the law required and keep every commandment and be considered to be righteous. So it worked a curse in that sense. But I also went back and found that if you were convicted of a crime worthy of death, then you were hung on a cross, crucified. That was the Romans' way of execution. But you couldn't leave the body on the cross all night. And how that fulfills exactly the way Jesus fulfilled those scriptures. They took him off the cross because it was their law that they couldn't leave them overnight. And we know that when he went in the tomb, we know the end of the story. 3 days later, he wasn't in there anymore. But this is going to talk about, and I have the New Living Translation because it is so much easier and plain to get all of what Paul is trying to say about something that is so important. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. And Galatians talks about Abraham and how he received God's promise to him because he believed. And that's a pattern for us. When God has made a promise, it's still a promise whether you believe it or not. The problem is, unless you decide that you're going to receive that with faith, then it's just a promise on a page of your Bible. But to take that and receive it for yourselves is real key. All who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. But those who depend on the law or religion, we can interchange that, to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. And that's 613 commandments. Some religions got it down to 10, but the really good ones that got it down to 1. You could be saved if you keep this one particular one. But the Bible has a whole different message to say. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. Now you can extrapolate on that a little bit more. Oftentimes, in your witnessing to others, people feel like, I can never be good enough to measure up. I don't have what it takes to believe the way you believe. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. And so mankind seems to tend to think that if he can do enough good works, he would gain God's favor. But that's an endless chase, because Jesus Christ did the good work that pleased the Father. But he also did it on our behalf. For the scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. It's talking about Jesus. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we, who are believers, might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. That's a big mouthful to chew on and think about. And I'm just reading it for the most part, because it takes care of mankind's age-old quest and the battle and the debates and the discussions that compare the law versus faith, the law versus the cross. And it just seems to be an issue that if you don't really see the significance of the cross, it undoes all of that. And now we're saved by putting our faith in what Christ did in our place. He bore that curse. He was the one that was accused of all of these high crimes and misdemeanors, if you will. And he was sentenced to death for his crimes. The problem was that didn't fly either. He was sentenced to death for taking our crimes upon himself and died with those. So by his death and resurrection, not only were yours and my sins taken upon him and dealt with, but there's great freedom and great liberty now because of his work. We're free in Christ now. Free not just from our sins, but we're free to do God's will. Because now, with the Holy Spirit, he inspires us to do those works. They're not to gain his favor, we have it. And nothing we can do can gain his favor. He already has shown his favor. So you don't have to do anything to gain it. You just have to believe it and receive it by faith that God said it. I still like to quote a quote from a person whom a lot of us are familiar with. He said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. End of discussion. And if you can come to that simplicity of faith and not try to figure everything out, why this happened, why did that happen, what's God trying to teach me in this, and you get into all of that murky area, because you're never going to know in this life why God does what he does, except he's God. So I remember my first week as a Christian. I never have to ask God why, because he's always right. I know that's simple, but it is so true. And so after the next segment of our service, we're going to talk about the law versus God's promise, because it's all included in this one chapter of Galatians. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. And as we're going through Romans in our Bible study downstairs, you're going to see a lot of what Paul said to the Roman church. He said it to the Galatian church as well. And so for us who've been reading in Romans, we see he stuck to the message, because he himself was set free from the law of sin and death. Didn't say he didn't struggle with it, because it's a spiritual law. You reap what you sow. That's another one. And you can't outdo gravity either. Because I use gravity as an example for people who, well, I can't see God. How can I believe in a God I can't see? So I say, do you believe in gravity? Well, yeah, doesn't everybody? I says, can you see it? Can you taste it? Can you touch it? Can you smell it? can you hear it? Oh, no. And I said, well, then you better not go up on the roof and jump then. You'll do a face plant for sure. Let the law of gravity work for you.